Most people aren't aware that subconsciously they always choose the path of least resistance. So it's like, it's a great idea. Let me go ahead and become an entrepreneur because I know that if I become an entrepreneur, my income potential is unlimited.
Yes.
But there's always this fight that people end up running into when it comes into entrepreneurship because there's so much that you have to learn, so many things that you have to increase yourself to.
You're listening to the Move to Millions podcast with Dr. Darnielle J. Harmon. If you're ready for high-level conversations that position and prepare you to move your company, cash flow, and connection to and beyond the million-dollar mark, let's get this party started. This episode is powered by Move to Millions Live. If you are a million-dollar CEO or million-dollar CEO in the making, and you finally are ready to radically dismantle the money blocks and beliefs that are threatening to derail you from your millions, while also learning how to tighten the core systems and strategies that will help you to scale and sustain a seven-figure business, this is the event that you have been waiting for. If you are not in the realm of millions, then you've got to get into the room where millions become a real possibility for you. Some things will only shift when you get into proximity to those who are currently doing what it is that you desire to do. Go grab your seat right now at movetomillionsevent.com so we can turn those blocks and beliefs into blessings that are bountiful to and beyond the million-dollar mark. Today on the Move to Millions podcast, I have such an amazing treat for you. I sit down with my baby brother, Paul Jervy is here. Paul is the CEO and lead certified financial planner for Jervy Genesis Wealth Solutions. And he's also the creator of Exonomics. Y'all, he is bad to the bone. And I'm just so excited to share him with you. I'm not even going to read his full bio. I will tell you that he is a Black certified financial planner. I believe he manages a portfolio that's over $100 million, maybe even more than that. He is a father, a husband, an amazing businessman. He is such a phenomenal individual. And I'm so grateful that today we have a tremendous relationship. In our conversation today, we get into so much that I know is going to feed your soul and your spirit. So I want you to grab that Move to Millions podcast notebook and your favorite pen. And you might just want to get you a little warm beverage as well. And let's jump into my conversation with Paul Jervy. Paul Robert Jervy. Am I allowed to call you Paul Robert out in public?
I don't know. That's like a family thing.
Right, don't nobody know the middle name. My brother is on the podcast, y'all. Welcome, Paul Jervy, to the podcast. How are you
What
today?
Up, y'all? I am great. I am phenomenal. I'm awesome.
So I am like grinning ear to ear. Some of you will watch the video of this conversation, and I'm like, I don't know why this hasn't happened before now.
God's timing.
You know what though, Paul? Here's what did it for me. And you are, I mean, I know you, I think you're amazing, but you had God girls. Yo. I mean, you took the way that I see you as my little brother, like up a whole nother level. Oh. And I was like, is that my brother? It's my brother. Anyway, okay. So before we jump in, this is going to be good, y'all. I want to just give you the opportunity to, in your own words, tell everybody who you are.
Own words. So let's see. Man, little boy from Delaware with a rich dad, poor dad experience. My father, or our father, did
Which
everything.
Heart in heaven.
Yep. Yeah, God bless his soul. He did everything that he could do to make sure that he provided and everything. But I learned what not to do with money from watching him and my mother. Mm-hmm. And so God blessed me with my maternal grandfather, who I can talk about him all day long. But he was the one that put me on the journey of money and taught me discipline taught brought me, to the Lord, that taught me so many things. I mean, don't get me wrong, Pops did too. Pops taught me a whole lot of stuff and how to be a man and everything. But when it comes to what I'm doing now, yeah, it was mainly those two. So that's a little bit about the upbringing. I'm married. We just celebrated 12 years on March 10th. We've been together for
Congratulations.
15 years. Thank you. We got three kids, 13, 9, and 4. So y'all pray for me because I'm dealing with a 13-year-old female teenager right now. And so that is, that's interesting. It's interesting. But yeah, that's not. So I am on this mission. I'm a certified financial planner, y'all. I run a yeah. So this year it'll be a seven-figure financial planning firm, and God had kind of yoked me up in 2020, 2021, and basically said it's time for you to be the Moses of finance and begin to take my people on an exodus from financial bondage to their financial promised land. So I've started doing what I call divine financial planning, which is helping people see that financial planning and money mastery is biblical. It's just that, and I've seen this firsthand with my grandfather being a pastor. It's just not taught in the church. And back in the day, a lot of people, our parents looked at their pastor as the marriage counselor, as the financial advisor, the pastor, and all of that other stuff. And they just weren't skilled in those respective areas. So there's like this open lane that God has shown me. And the journey has been rough up to this point, but he has shown me how he wants me to travel down this path. And he just every morning just keeps illuminating different things to me in his word that I've never seen before. And it just kind of blows my mind. So yeah, y'all, that's me in a nutshell. Certified financial planner, Moses of finance, husband, father, brother.
So there's so much you said already, and I'm just over here just smiling. I'm still, y'all, I'm still geeking out about the fact that this is my little brother. We're 11 years apart. So Paul and I, during the time when we were in the house together, we did not have an amazing relationship. I actually resented him very much. His mother, may she rest in peace. That was crazy. Y'all heard me talk about that on the podcast before, how we lost my dad last August, and then we lost Nessie in December on Christmas Day,
Remember.
on Paul's birthday.
Yeah, that sucked.
It really sucked. And in the way that I was raised, and Paul coming into the scenario, it was a very traumatic experience. And so, as I grew and got out of the house,
are you ready for Move to Millions Live 2024? Well, registration is now open. It is going down May 22nd through the 24th, just outside of Washington, D.C. You have to be there if you have millions on your mind. If you think the book was something, wait until you get into proximity to your next level. The conversations, the clarity, the collaborations, and the community that is going to get you to and beyond the $1 million mark is waiting for you now. Go grab your seat at movetomillionsevent.com.
Want to know what it's like to work with me and the Incredible Factor University coaching team? You can get started today with the Move to Millions 90-Day Business Growth Planner. 90 days at a time, you'll be setting your business on a trajectory that will make the move to millions happen much faster for you. It's got everything that you need to track every strategy, every sale, all of your KPIs, as well as your self-care and life transformational needs. We made sure we left nothing out of this amazing planner. And by accessing the planner, you'll get a behind-the-scenes view of what it's like to work with me and my team. Go grab yours today at movetomillionsplanner.com. I wanted to leave everything behind, even Paul. And he was in his early 20s where he called me out of the blue. I don't even know how he got my number, y'all. That's how far
I found
away
it.
from
Yeah,
them I was trying to
I
be.
found it.
He found
Yeah.
it somehow, some way, and he called me and he said, "Listen, that didn't have nothing to do with me. And I want to know my big sister." And I'm like, I have chills, and I'm even getting a little emotional right now because I'm so grateful that you did that. Because if
Yo,
it were left up to me, it probably would have never happened. And so I'm just grateful. And I just want to, in this moment, I just want to honor you and say,
Thank you for allowing me to be able to see past my hurt and my trauma, because today we have an amazing relationship and I could not imagine my life without you in it. And I would have not had you in it if you didn't have enough courage and foresight to call me that day and to start what is this amazing journey that we're on together.
Yeah, it was, I needed you. That's basically what it was. Like, out of our siblings, you know, I have varying relationships with both of them, but I needed you because I related to you more so than anybody else in the family. And I knew that I needed to be connected to you in some form or fashion. I didn't know for what. I knew we were both in business, but I didn't know how it was going to be or anything like that. But I just needed you there. And it's especially now with where I'm at, you just all that to me. So I've always told you that. I've always looked up to you. I'm chasing you. Most likely will. I'm going to surpass you, sis. And
you could try if you want.
So but yeah, man, that's what it is. I needed you and I still do.
You know what? And I need you too. And what I love about this and the other thing that you said that I wanted to pull on, which is interesting, because I think the first time I heard it verbalized was at Daddy's funeral when Pastor Shannon talked about the Moses anointing on our family. Mm-hmm. Right. Remember that?
And yes, I do.
Because I had people calling me a Moses of sorts. And then for you to say God said you are the Moses of finances, I was like, oh. And then when Pastor Shannon was like, your family has the Moses anointing, I'm like, oh, that's so good.
And just to
think about, like, we're siblings, first generation millionaires in our family. Mm-hmm. The first, collectively together, the first.
Correct.
Which is so amazing and dynamic, because I don't know how often that happens, right? I've never done the research on it, but I know it's not common.
It's definitely not, especially when I sit down with families and the families that have allowed me to be their financial planner, manage their life savings. Like, I have generations in my practice, and very rarely do you see, I think there's one family that I can think of where each one of its three sisters, that are all three of them are millionaires, but it's only one family.
Yeah.
It's only one. But yeah, it's so dope, because I can, there's not that many people that I can talk to about what I'm dealing with, and then also have the level of faith and spiritual insight that you do to not just say, no, that's great. Like, if I say, you know, no, I want one of my practices to be a $10 million revenue practice, you won't ever say, oh, that's stupid. That's great. How are you going to do that?
No, let's go. Let's map it out. Let's figure out what it's going to take in order to be able to make that happen just from your residuals. Like,
bingo.
You know what I mean?
See? Yeah, man.
Yeah. So what's exciting and what I wanted to talk about today is, I just really want to pontificate. I want us to kind of vibe off of, you know how much I love talking about money.
I think you like talking about
money almost as much as I do.
Yeah.
I just got finished. You said earlier that God has been, every morning he's illuminating new things for you. I just, out of nowhere, God told me to read the book of Deuteronomy.
Okay.
And I don't spend a tremendous amount of time in the Old Testament, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. It's like a scripture here or there, but not an entire book. But he had me read the entire book. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was so, to use the word you used a minute ago, illuminating. Mm-hmm. And I think most people's favorite chapters in Deuteronomy are either Deuteronomy 8 or Deuteronomy 28, right? Mm-hmm. The blessings and the curses. Let me tell you my favorite chapter. My favorite chapter is Deuteronomy 7.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. So
do tell.
As I'm reading this, so to set the stage for everybody, so the children of Israel are now floating in the wilderness for their 40 years, and they're coming into they're closing in on being able to inhabit the promised land, and Moses can't go with them. So Moses is spending almost this entire book getting them ready and sharing the edicts and the rules and the regulations for their inhabitants inside of the promised land, because he's not going to be able to go. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, mm-hmm. in that text, 8 times, Paul, God says, or God has Moses say 3 words, enter and occupy. Eight times, which is the number of means. New beginnings.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Eight times he says, enter and I have chills all over my body right now. He says, enter and occupy. And so at the top of the year, my theme for the year is anchored ascension. So in order to go up, you got to go down, right? So I got to go deeper in the things of God in order to ascend to my next level. And a big part of that for me this year is expanding my capacity and my tolerance level for the things that it is that God desires for me. And so I'm going to do a whole thing at Move to Millions on embodiment, because God shared with me, and I texted you this, efforting won't make you millions, embodiment will.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yep. so he Remember, shared that yeah. with me right before I went into Deuteronomy. And so I'm in chapter 7. I'm just seeing enter and occupy before you go and enter and occupy this land. And my spirit was like, that's the definition of embodiment. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not enough just to enter. How many of us have entered, but we haven't occupied? There are people listening to this show right now that mm-hmm. have entered entrepreneurship, but they haven't occupied it.
Have you occupied
it? And that's why they're not making millions.
That's exactly why. There's a couple things that just came to mind. One of my courses. I do a Zoom call with the class every fourth Monday. And so there were a bunch of students on there and they had a boatload of questions. And one of the things that I share with them is that a lot of times there's this law that's called the law of polarity. Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're probably familiar with it. Mm-hmm.
So it's most people aren't aware that subconsciously they always choose the path of least resistance. So it's like, you know, it's a great idea. Let me go ahead and become an entrepreneur, because I know that I've become an entrepreneur. My income potential is unlimited.
Yes.
But there's always this fight that people end up running into when it comes into entrepreneurship, because there's so much that you have to learn, so many things that you have to increase yourself to. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the law of polarity, so for those of you that aren't familiar with it, the law of polarity is the law of opposites, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you have, you know, left, right, up, down, hot, cold, in, out. So if you think of money, like let's just call it money. So we'll say the left side is lack of knowledge of money. And then the right side, which is going to be the positive, is the understanding of money, right? Mm-hmm. So if the left side, when you have a lack of knowledge around money, or it could be entrepreneurship, but specifically when it comes to money, like you are, you create, when you run into situations, you end up feeling doubt and worry. Right. So you and the doubt and worry comes because you don't know what to do. And people also run into that when it comes into entrepreneurship. They don't know what to do. But because of that, the doubt and worry is on a conscious level. So because it's on a conscious level, they end up thinking about it constantly, constantly. Mm-hmm. That's why Proverbs said, "What as a man thinketh, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what that does is it sets up an emotion called fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that fear then stops you from doing what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then if you take it a step further and that fear gets into your subconscious, it creates anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And the anxiety is where a lot of people end up, they freeze, they just stop, and they do exactly what they've always been doing, which is why they get stuck. So the anxiety comes from the fear, which comes from the doubt and worry, but it all started because most people enter and don't occupy.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you end up going over onto the right side, it's all right. I have an understanding of money. Well, the understanding, well, how do you get that? It comes from repetition and study, repetition of specific information and study. Mm-hmm. So if I do that, then that understanding then gives me confidence. So mm-hmm. I'm able to walk a little bit different. I'm able to, you know, navigate things a little bit different. That confidence then turns into courage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able now to take that courage and I'm able to make a move regardless of if the outcome is going to be successful to me, because I'm so confident about it, which therefore that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so the faith is the opposite of the fear, but the faith came from the courage, which came from the confidence, which came from the understanding, which mm-hmm. basically means that if you do those things, you enter And understanding is occupying your space. And so when people have a level of understanding of money or their specific calling as it relates to entrepreneurship, the sky's then is the limit.
Yeah.
And so from that, it's like I was telling them, I said, when you guys have an understanding of money, now when you look at the fact of right now in our country, 55 to 63% of people live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing.
It is.
And that's because they don't have that understanding.
92% of people have worries about money. Like,
yep.
They live in a constant and perpetual state of anxiety as it pertains to money.
Yes.
92% of the people. So that means that if 60%, which is like the average of the 55 mm-hmm. to 63, if 60% live paycheck to paycheck, that means of that 60%, there's another 32% who don't live paycheck to paycheck that are still experiencing massive anxiety when it comes to money.
Yep. Yep. And this is why the national credit card debt balance is over $1 trillion.
Yeah.
It's over $1
trillion. And because, like, this is the way that I break down poor people, middle class people, wealthy people.
Okay.
Poor people believe that money is to pay bills. So they work just to be able to pay their bills.
Right.
Middle class people believe that money is to pay their bills so that they can have good credit, so that they can expand their living beyond their means and look as if they're wealthy people. But wealthy people actually believe money was created to create more money. And that's why wealthy people say wealthy, because they enter and they occupy.
I sat down with a dude the other day. He came in with another client. It was her father. And homeboy was valued at, I think, $300 million.
If you love the Move to Millions podcast and the Move to Millions book is blowing your mind, then you have got to join us for Move to Millions Live. All the details are waiting for you to secure your seat at movetomillionsevent.com.
While we are on this quick commercial break, let me take this opportunity to remind you that when it comes to making the Move to Millions, we've got you covered. I created my proven framework, the Move to Millions Method, to help you simplify, scale, and sustain a company that serves you financially and spiritually. From the book, to the planner, to our live event, and tons of free cheat sheets to help you plan, prepare, and position your company to make millions, we are your full service resource. Learn more now by visiting movetomillions.com.
And I'm looking at him and I'm like, he just looks like a regular dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he didn't have on a Gucci outfit, shirt,
yeah.
You know, all you know, he just looked like a regular guy, drives a regular car and everything. And that's the thing. Rich people are attempting to live within their means, like you said, to stay wealthy and so on and so forth. And they have the funds to be able to experience life, whereas poor people are staying poor because they're attempting to look rich.
And here's the thing. And there was probably a point in time in his life where he flossed. He mm-hmm. probably did have Prada and Gucci and Louis and all of that at one point in time. But like it does for those of us who first have to get those things, it mm-hmm. gets old. Like there's only so many of the things that you even want before you're like, oh, how could I buy some stocks so that my money can make me some money? Where right. can I invest this money so that it becomes more instead of having this thing that inherently I can't even do anything with?
Correct. Correct. And that's one of the things that I try to help people understand is that God gave you the desires. So it's okay to want those things, mm-hmm. but God wants to see if you're going to be a good steward slash manager before he gives you more of the resources, because the resources are one, and people get it mixed up. The money, the resources, the houses, the cars, all that stuff, that's his. So like, even when you think about the like investing in stocks like Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Tesla, Nvidia, any of those companies, he still owns them. It's just he's allowing people to run them. And so when it exactly to store it. And so this is why in Luke what is it, Luke 16? I'm probably gonna mess up some of the address, but I think it's Luke 16 and 10. And Jesus is telling the parable of the shrewd business manager, and he says, if you manage the little well, then the much will follow.
Mm-hmm. Or we could even go to the parable of the talents, right? And mm-hmm. we can tell it like it is, or we can make it entrepreneurial, right? You're the CEO of the company and you're going on a long journey. And so you leave 5 million to Michelle, you leave 3 million to Jordan, and mm-hmm. then 1 million, you know, you give to somebody else to manage, right, and to see what they do with it in accordance to what you know is possible for them. And for
yes.
the two that know that money was meant to move and to multiply it in accordance to the way that they see themselves, they can go out and create, turn that 5 million into 10 million, turn that 3 million into 6 million. But the one who doesn't believe in the power that's on the inside of them buries it, puts it in an account that doesn't bear interest. So you come back to just that $1 million, not anything extra.
Yep.
Right. Yep. It's the same thing. And I mean, I've always said, the way we see money is really about the way that we see ourselves.
Big time. Oh, big time. And people don't understand, too, that even from, again, and this is for the people that, which I know your listeners are, if you're part, if you believe that you are part of God's kingdom, you are a kingdom citizen. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God has unlimited resources.
Correct.
So if there is scarcity in your life, that's not from God.
No.
Something's off.
Yeah, it's absolutely not from God. Like, which is why we have to go back. I feel like I'm always regurgitating the same scriptures because I think that they really tell the story, right? So if we go to Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Let us give him the power and the authority to, I always get that, to subdue. Basically, mm-hmm. everything comes under your command because you're created in God's image and likeness. That means even money.
That's right. And the thing is, he did that in Genesis 1, 26 and 28. That's when he created our spirits, our spirit man, because he doesn't. I've heard a lot of preachers mess this up. He doesn't create the man, Adam, until Genesis 2.
Correct.
So therefore, that means the spirit world is more real than the physical world.
Correct.
And so based on scripture, and this is where that mindset shifts has to happen for a lot of people to really believe in the God that they serve, because God says in Ephesians 1 and 3 that he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So meaning that when you're praying and you're asking God for certain things, you're not asking him to do anything because it's already done. He is simply waiting to look for you to see how you're going to either manage the money or function within the test, because money is a huge test. And I'll tell you where, and I did a masterclass called The Principle of the Double. And I shared with the people that registered, I said, I'm not your pastor or anything like that. I ain't raising no offering. But where people miss the boat the most is when they tithe. The most people don't tithe. They don't set aside that 10%, whether it goes to an organization, whether it goes to a ministry or whatever, they don't set aside that. And to me, if you can't do that, and I can walk through Bible and I can show you where like that tithe is necessary. And then God spoke to people in their dreams, gave them a strategy, and then people experienced the double. That tithe, if you don't do it, you can't tell me that you trust God. And most people don't. And that's why they don't see the increase that they want to see.
Right. There's so many things I want to say right now. So many directions I want to take as it pertains to money. And you guys, you've heard me say this a million times on the podcast, 2,300 times, God talks about money, wealth, and possessions. He talks about money, wealth, and possessions more than he talks about heaven or hell. Not because he's greedy or you're greedy or he wants you to be greedy, but because you need to master it. And unless you become a master over this, he cannot entrust you with what he really wants to get you. And most of us are failing the test, right? Most of us are not understanding what it is that we actually have the power to subdue.
Yes.
Because money was never meant to be something we chase. It was always meant to be something that we have the power and control over. And when we leverage that power and control, we can not only influence the kingdom, but we can experience every stitch of abundance for which God, after getting tired of us making mistake after mistake after mistake, sent Jesus for. So we wouldn't have to keep being flooded out or burnt up or any of the things that happened to destroy us over the Old Testament, right? And I just, that's the thing that I just really want people to get, Paul. Like, and I've had people slide in my DMs and they're like, you just talk about money too much. You need someone commented on a post last week, I think it was, and they were like, you need to heal your relationship with money. That's what they said to me. I busted out laughing. Then I was like, I'm not going to respond. I'm just going to let the troll be a troll. But I just laughed because I was like, every single one of us is in a relationship with money right now. And for most people, it's a thin line between love and hate instead of being on it, and popping.
It is. Let me tell you. So to tell your listeners this, hopefully that person is listening, that was trolling. God, see, this is how powerful money is and why it is beyond okay for you to continue to talk about it and do the things that you do. God, Jesus said this, because if you read your Bible, it's in red.
Yes.
He said that there are two masters on earth, two of them. He never mentions the devil. He never mentioned him. And it's Luke 16. And I'm gonna tell you read, because I keep my Bible with me at all times.
I keep my Bible with me at all times too.
For real. So it's in Luke 16, and basically he says that it is God and mammon. Yep, it's verse 13. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Ain't no devil in there, because the devil uses money to influence you. The money is more powerful than the devil.
Correct. And here's the thing, like, and money was never meant to be your master.
Correct.
It's a tool.
It is. And here's something for your listeners too. If y'all are y'all don't get mad at me. If you go to work for money, guess who's the boss?
Exactly.
Because you're supposed to have money work for you. I believe that you're supposed to work for purpose. You're supposed to provide a service. And then when you think about it, it's like, this is what Microsoft does. Like, everybody uses Microsoft or Google. They provide a service.
Right. Yeah. If you serve, you will experience the reward.
Yes. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3, he says that you should merchandise your wisdom. So it's like a lot of people have this knowledge of stuff and they never do anything with it. That's why Miles Monroe said the richest place on planet Earth is a graveyard. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 3 that you should merchandise your wisdom. It's better than silver and gold. So what you know should be taken to market, and it is okay for you to generate a profit off of it. That's why King Solomon says, if you don't, it becomes a curse unto you.
Correct. And I mean, we could just go all over. Like, I just love 1 Timothy 6:17. Right. So three commands for when you have money.
Yeah.
Number one, don't be arrogant or high-minded.
Yep.
Number two, do good deeds. And number three, remember the source of your wealth.
There it is right there.
Yep. So you can have money. You can have lots of money. Mm-hmm. Timothy was over a territory of people who had a lot of money, which is why Paul had to prepare Timothy, because he was going to be dealing with these rich people.
Yes.
That there is nothing wrong with the wealth. Unless you're arrogant and high-minded, you don't do good deeds, and you think you are the one who created the money.
Right. Right.
If that's the way you look at money, then yeah, you got a problem. And you are serving mammon, and it's going to be a problem. But if you understand that money is a tool, a resource, an energy, it's not a measuring stick of your worth. It is not an indication of your likelihood to get to or out of heaven. It is merely a tool, a transactional energy, a currency, a flow that never stops flowing.
Yeah.
And should That's be flowing it. To you because you are created in the image and likeness of God.
Correct. Correct.
At all times.
Yeah. Well, wealth and abundance, it is good because God said so, number mm-hmm. one. But there's this stronghold that people have when it comes, especially when, and this is what I generally see when I speak in churches, like people have this notion that the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are.
Well, you know why, right? Because Christianity is based on Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And Catholicism is you are holy if you are poor.
Yeah.
You're closer to God. So when we escaped the religious persecution of England, wherever, and came to the United States, we thought, well, we'll take a different spin on what they were accusing us of, but they didn't leave its roots.
Right.
So Catholicism is the reason why we think that. I mean, how many times have you experienced the misinterpretation of it is easier than a rich man to get to it is it is what
right.
is it
is easier, it easier than a for rich a rich man
to get to our eye of the needle
I feel
than
can't,
yep. heaven. But mm-hmm. the eye of the needle isn't a literal needle, it's a
Correct.
Small gate. Anyway.
Listen, there is something that I said on stage, and I didn't even have it in my notes one time when I was speaking, and I said Jesus was a trust fund baby.
If you think Move to Millions, the book was something, wait until you join us at the Move to Millions live experience. Listen, you already know I put my foot in the book, and as great as it is, it has nothing on the live experience we have curated for you. There's a next level to position you to make the move with grace and ease instead of hustle and grind, and it is waiting for you to join us live. When you join us, you will learn how to make the move without making the mistakes. Secure your seat today at movetomillionsevent.com.
And you know, when I said that, it was almost like you could see the people in the crowd. Some people was laughing, some people was standing up clapping, other people, especially like older people, they was like, oh my God, you
know. And when,
yeah, you know, because when you think about all the gifts, the frankincense, the myrrh, and all that other stuff that they gave him, like preachers gloss over that.
Yeah. Well, and you know why, though? You know why they do? Because the whole point of religion is to keep you bound in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give you the liberty and the creativity and the freedom to understand who God really is, then you won't come here and you won't give me your tithe. Mm-hmm. And then I won't be able to.
And that's fear.
It is all fear.
That is all fear. I'm telling you, man. Yeah, man. It's if that money mindset, if people could just make a small shift in their mindset when it comes to money, it especially when it comes to God, because like financial planning is all throughout scripture. Like it is mm-hmm. insane to me. And like it is just insane. So like even when I like some of the clients that I get that are that I know that are believers, they'll say, oh, no, Paul, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get any life insurance, you know, because that's just something, because insurance has just gotten such a bad rap. I'm not going to get life insurance. Well, you know, 1 Timothy 5:8 says that if you don't take care of your household, you're worse than an unbeliever.
Right.
If you die, you're not going to be able to take care of your household. So you're worse than an unbeliever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just this. I don't know. It's just, it's so crazy to me when it comes to money is that people have so many different viewpoints, especially when it's in the church. And I guess that's why, because it irritates me so bad, I guess that's why God's got me on this mission. Because whatever irritates you so to such an umph degree, that's probably the area that God wants you in.
Yeah. I mean, and same here. Like I was saying, I was doing another podcast interview and I was talking about how I even started studying other religions, right? So,
ooh.
I mean, you know the story. I was engaged to be married
yes.
the first time, and he got that older woman in our church. Of course, she's not really an older woman now. As I'm now 48 years old, I'm like, she wasn't really that old, you know. But anyway, he got this older woman pregnant, and it happened in the church. And I had already at that point in time, I was feeling unsettled because it didn't make sense to me that from what I had been studying in the word, that we go to church every week with the same issue and go to the altar every week to get hands laid on us for the same. Like, where was the deliverance? There was no deliverance. We were just, it was just the ritual of coming to the altar during the altar call so that I could be seen in my big hat on Sunday morning. And it was, there was no deliverance. And I was like, wait a minute. I need to understand who God is for Darnell Antoinette, because what is being filtered to me through this pulpit, something is off in it. And as a part of that exploration, I read, I mean, now the Torah is just the first five books of the Bible, right? I've read the Quran.
Okay.
I've read several texts, some I can't even tell you the name of. And here's what I learned. I learned that there is only one true and living God.
Believe it.
And we are all referencing the same God. And I learned that God is principled. And if you understand his principles, because no matter which text I was reading,
the principles are there.
The principles were the same. And I could take the passage in the Quran and bring it right into the Old Testament and see a direct correlation. Wow. I could literally see that. If you understand the principle, then you would get to experience the kairos of God. And it was then that I realized that religion is man-made. And religion is man's answer to his insecurity about dominating and controlling other people. And so in order to keep people in their quote unquote place, religion was created. And it is anti what God desired. And desires for us.
And, 100%.
And it, I mean, it just started changing everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if we could just get it, and I think it's like you just said a minute ago, it's the reason why I'm so adamant on every chance I get. Like, I had someone ask me on another podcast interview, like, do you ever feel uncomfortable bringing your spirituality into your work? No, because my money says in God we trust.
Correct. Correct.
There so it is. we are not agnostic. We are not unaware of God because we put it on our money. So, and I quote the Bible just like you quote Think and Grow Rich. It's not a different text to me. I don't pass a collection plate. Maybe I should. I don't take a call to Christian discipleship. Maybe I should. But I speak the principles because I know every human being can understand these principles and experience what it is that God desired for those who understand his principles.
Yep. And Think and Grow Rich. I love that book. I swear to you, I do. But it is nothing but Bible.
Well, all of them. Like, I think about The Secret. Like, I remember being so, I mean, The Secret came out when I was super Christian. I was like, I was so Christian that if you just touch me, I would start speaking in tongues. That's when The Secret came out. And I remember everyone's like, oh, we're watching The Secret. And I was like, blasphemy. I cannot watch The Secret. That would be cheating on Jesus. I will do no such thing. I am holy, right? And I didn't watch it. And then one day I went to my friend's house and she was watching The Secret and she didn't tell me what it was. I just came in and she's like, oh, sit down. You know, this will be over soon. And I'm watching and I'm listening to it and I'm seeing, you know, Bob Proctor and John Assaraf and Lisa Nichols and seeing all the people. And I'm listening to what they're saying, what they're describing. And I'm like, oh, that's Matthew 7:7. Oh, that's Ephesians 3:20. Oh, that's Galatians 6:9. And I'm like, oh, I see what they did. See what they did right there. They focused on the principles.
That's it.
And I mean, like, and can we just be honest? Like, even the Bible says, any man who believes, it's not just for Jews and Gentiles. It's not just for believers. Any man who believes the principles. It's the principled reward.
The principles work no matter who works them. And a lot of the principles God put in place, and you don't necessarily have to be in right standing with God for the principle to work.
Hello.
Like one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 12:24, which says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribune." So, you know, I use the same example every time that I get up and speak. So if you are systematic and you are productive in your pursuit of your goal, of your divine thing, at some point you're going to reach a level of mastery that has to be rewarded. Otherwise, that scripture is not true.
Correct. And he told us that he's not a man that he should lie.
Correct.
He said that if he said it, it would not return unto him void. Mm-hmm. And it.
And he even, and I said this at God Girls. He said, and this is, I think, in Luke 16, he said, go see what the people of the world is doing. Mm-hmm. Go see what they're doing. Learn what they're doing, because they're more shrewd than the people of the light.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, principles, the principles work no matter who works them.
No matter who works them.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
no matter.
Right.
And if we could stop religifying everything.
Right.
Right. And if we could just understand relationship and relationship with everything, relationship with God, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're in a relationship with God, whether you believe it or not. For even for those of you who are like, I'm not a believer, you still are in a relationship with him.
Yep.
Regardless. Right. Just the same as you're in a relationship with money, whether mm-hmm. it's a happy, loving relationship or a thin line between love and hate. Like, you're still in a relationship.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be in a relationship anyway, shouldn't it be one that thrives?
Correct. Absolutely. 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 Yeah. I look at the, like you were saying earlier, that God had you in Deuteronomy, but God had me in Genesis, and specifically the story of Jacob and Laban, Jacob's story and Jacob and Laban, mm-hmm. And Job.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and that's where, when I finished reading those two, that's when I got the word the following morning, do the masterclass, principle of the double.
Yeah.
Because one, in Job's case, and here's the thing that blew my mind about Job. So both of them ended up, it's their money stories. Like, if
right,
you read
they are.
The result, they're money stories.
Because hold on a second, Paul. I'm just going to whisper this for the people to make sure that they caught it. Because most of the Bible is about money.
Yes, right. I'm telling you.
So they're all money stories.
They're all money stories. It's like in Job, he put Job, with everything that happened with Job, he put Job in the middle of wisdom literature. So for those of you that don't know, the Bible is broken up. It's like, it's got the laws, you know, and then it's got the wisdom literature. Then it's got the prophets, and then the New Testament, the Gospels, and then the letters. It's all broken up, right? But he put Job, I get excited when I talk about it. He put Job right there in wisdom literature. And so when you think about Job, it's like, okay, Job, we know, went through all of this crazy stuff because God allowed the devil to test him. And mm-hmm. the thing that blew my mind when I first read it, in chapter one, God and the devil's having, you know, their little argument. Devil says, well, you know, I was trying to get to Job, you know, God says, have you tried my servant Job? And
right.
He says, no, you have a hedge around him. And so how did the devil know that he had a hedge around him if he hadn't tried him already?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, we're always, see, most people, you have to give God his due, because God is protecting a lot of us, a majority of us, from the attacks of the devil. And we don't even know it. That's the first thing that hit me.
We don't even know.
So he allowed him to do that. And then we'll skip through to the end of Job. And basically, Job goes through all that stuff. God is silent for 38 chapters. God doesn't speak. And Job is questioning. I mean, he's coming at God's neck.
Seriously.
He is coming at his neck. And so when God starts speaking, he tells Job, stand up, brace yourself like a man, and answer me. And then he says in verse 12 and 38, he says, who are you to basically question me? Have you ever given orders to the morning? Not have you given orders in the morning, like you're a
right.
person
to
in authority.
The morning,
to
right.
The morning, like what? So you mean to tell me, all right, so if you're not a person that can tell the sun, I want you over here, not here, because that's where you was yesterday. I want the clouds over here. I want the clouds to be there. I want this to be hot, and I want it to rain over here. You can't question me. That's basically what he's saying. And so then after he goes on to Job for like three chapters, and then he tells Job, pray for his friends, because his friends was wrong. So and while Job is in his hour of need at his worst point, and then the Bible says Job gets twice as much. everybody who's listening and say double, because he gives him twice as much money that he had before.
Yeah.
It.
And can we just talk for like 2 seconds of, in addition to this lesson that you just broke down for us, the reason he could give him twice as much is because money is an energy that's supposed to multiply.
That's right.
It's supposed to multiply. It should not stay the same. Like, we just don't, we don't get it. It burns my biscuits. Like, and I just really want people, and I'm not, just for the record, I'm not going to stop talking about money. I'm not going to stop. Even when you start understanding the principles and it comes into your life experience and it is flowing wildly that you cannot contain it, and you have more money than you can give, spend, invest, and save, I'm going to still be talking about it, because there's constantly new levels of it. You should never, you may have lots of problems, but money should not be one of them.
Money should not be one of them.
Money should not be one of them.
Yeah, man. Because I'm telling you, listen, even when, like, he tells you that you're supposed to invest. So everybody, you're supposed to have investments. Money is, like she said, it's an energy. It's supposed to be moving. God gives you the money, and your job is supposed to send the money out. Get the money, get the lazy money off the couch, get it out the recliner, and get it out to work so that when it comes back, it has more value. That's what a good manager is. That's why when we talked about the parable earlier, the dude who dug a hole and put the money in there, he cast him in basically to life in hell. Like, he had a impoverished lifestyle for the rest of his days. That's how much God wants you to manage the money.
And
not just for yourself too. Don't get me wrong. God wants you to do things, because Jesus said, you know, let's go away, you know, so that we can rest and, you know, all that stuff. So you're supposed to do that, but also so that you can give to other people, because you cannot be the good Samaritan if you ain't got no money.
Correct. You can't be the change if you don't have any. And the people that are really experiencing wealth unparalleled are the ones who are givers. So if you don't have a tithing strategy in your business, now I believe in tithing wherever you get inspired. Yeah. For some of you, that will be the church house. For some of you, that'll be the Cancer Federation. For some of you, it'll be an individual contributor to your spiritual well-being and feeding you. It doesn't matter. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that means any dime you give out in the name of tithe is going to the advancement of his kingdom.
Yep.
Every dime.
Yep.
But you have to be in the habit of letting money circulate, right? I speak all over the country, and I'm always speaking on what I call the mindset for millions. And one of the first things I say, if you want to make money move, you have to invest and be investable, because that's how it comes back, right? And that speaks directly to the heart of entrepreneurship. We need to be putting money out there, and we also need to be ready to take money in, because it's supposed to come back. And when it comes back, it's always supposed to be greater than what we put out.
Ever wish, as a podcast episode comes to an end, that we could spend more time together? Well, I want to make sure that you know about our free community on Facebook. If you are a millions-minded entrepreneur who wants to go from millions on your mind to millions in your bank account, then we should spend more time together. Get all the details you need to join us in our free Facebook community at movetomillionsgroup.com.
That's what we call a ROI, people.
That's it.
It's in the word. I didn't make it up because it sounded good. Everything that I teach, everything that my brother teaches, it is literally in the word.
And the Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. Because Denzel Washington said it the best, like, no matter how much money you make, do what you can with your money while you're here. Enjoy it. Invest in people. Give it to good causes. Make sure that you follow biblical principles. But I've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse.
Right.
You know, because you cannot take it with you.
So take it with you.
When you're here, make sure that you're leaving your mark, that you are doing what you're supposed to do so that you can experience this life to the full. Like God said, I come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
And, you know, and that is such a strong and powerful statement. Mm-hmm. And people, they shortchange it. They just kind of gloss over it as something that we just say, but it is such a powerful statement.
God gets no glory when you go without. Not Very only true. Because you literally won't give him the glory. We're not praying. We're not praising when we are going through. God gets no glory in that. And that is counterproductive to his purposes for your life. God is in it for the won't he do it. That's what he wants. He wants to be praised when you get the parking lot at the Costco that somebody just pulled out of that's right up front. So he wants the glory in everything, and he cannot get the glory if you are in lack. That is counterproductive to his purposes and why he sent Jesus.
That's exactly.
It's counterproductive. That's exactly. We could go on all day.
Sure can.
We won't. But one of the things that I have in my heart to do, and I don't know when we're going to actually do it. I got to clear some things off my plate, but I want to start a podcast with my baby brother. So we want to start a podcast where we can just come and do this every week, right? So there will eventually be a podcast that we will start together. But before then, I want to give you the last word, and then I'm just going to ask you our Move to Millions Wisdoms questions, and then we'll call it an episode. So anything on your heart that you'd like to share before we move into our final three questions?
Yeah, I think I want to share with the listeners because I think it was so profound, and I praise God for what he illuminated to me with the story of Jacob and Laban. So for those of you that aren't familiar with that story, and I'll kind of shorten it up, but Jacob works for Laban, and he wanted to and I'll modernize it. He wanted to basically go out and start his own business. And Laban didn't want him to because he was making so much money off of him. So Jacob struck a deal and says, OK, well, let's do this. If you allow me to, manage all of your spotted, speckled, animals and whatnot, and you keep all the solid ones, that way, I'll keep managing over what you have, and you'll be able to see what I'm doing, and my honesty and my integrity will speak for me and everything. And Laban agrees, but Laban's a trickster. So Laban ends up taking the spotted speckled goats and sheeps and everything. The Bible says a 3 days journey away. So Jacob was left with the solid colored ones. And so what he did, and this is so crazy. So what he did was he had an idea, and he took pieces of the trees that were around him, and he stripped off some of the wood so that it would show stripes, some that would show spots and speckles and those sorts of things. And every time that those animals were drinking, they would end up they would stare at what Jacob had put in the water and that with the wood. Then every time that they were in heat, he would make sure that they made it in front of those pieces of wood. So when they gave birth, they would give birth to spotted, speckled animals. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that God said to me is that, and this is why, and I heard you say this years ago about vision boards, and I know you still talk about it now, but one of the big reasons why I'm still a vision board person is because of you. But my wife and I, we have a vision board of ourselves, actually right behind me. Mm-hmm. And I see So what you focus on, what you visualize on a consistent basis, eventually you will birth. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, how did Jacob get this strategy? Because what the Bible says is that when he did this, it increased his herds and his resources immensely. So this was actually more than double. It was like 10x. Well, what ended up happening was he ended up giving an offering to God after he had the dream about the ladder. So he gave an offering, and he gave a vow, and he says in his vow that I'm going to give you a tenth. So this means that goes back to the tithe piece that we talked about. So because he gave that vow to God, God later gave him a dream with this strategy in it. Mm-hmm. And so when you end up tithing and your heart and your motives are pure, because we even see this with King Solomon, who was the richest man that ever lived. He gave an offering, and then God spoke to him in a dream, mm-hmm. and then gave him his wisdom and everything else. We see this even when Elijah was getting ready to feed 100 men with 20 loaves. He gave them the first ripe part, which is essentially first fruits. Right. So basically what I'm saying is that in order to start to see your money increase, the first thing that you need to do is tithe. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to track your money, know where it goes, because there's another parable that I haven't heard anybody preach on, but there's a parable of a woman who lost her coin. Mm. And homegirl tore her house up looking for this coin. And Jesus is telling the story. And he basically says that we should be doing the same. You should know where your money is going. And so from that, you also want to identify your goals, but visualize it so that you can see it. Because again, what you visualize, you eventually will birth. It gets into your subconscious. And your subconscious is your gateway to the spirit world. That's going to give God that, give you that, that line to God to drop creative ideas and or opportunities. And those opportunities and ideas can be worth more than 30 years of an 8-hour day.
Yes.
And it all starts with you having the right heart, but tithing to open the gateway. If you don't tithe, you don't trust God.
So here's what I heard. I heard three T's. You got to tithe, you got to track, and then you got to trust the vision and the creator of the vision.
You got it.
That's good. That's the 3T method.
Three T's.
Y'all heard it here first. On the Move to Millions podcast. This has been amazing. All right. So just before I let you go, I got to ask you my three closing questions. I'll give you all three and then you can answer them in the order that you would like. Number one is, what is the one book that has made a difference in your life up until this point? It could be, you know, about, I'm going to leave it open. Second question is, what is the quote that when you are having a day, a moment, you need to realign and recenter yourself and remember who and whose you are? What is the quote that you speak over yourself? And then the last is, what is one tool that you swear by that has been absolutely centrifugal on your own move to and beyond the $1 million mark?
That one. So the last one, the big move is sitting down with people that were where I wanted to be.
So mentorship.
Yeah, that probably was the biggest that I used to when I was at my previous firm. There were guys making so much money and serving so many clients. And I'm just like, how in the world are y'all doing it? And I and a lot of them said, nobody that like a newer financial, nobody's ever asked to come and just ask me questions. Yeah. And I took all of that information and molded it into my practice. Yeah. So that was the big thing. Mentorship is huge. And I do that now with a lot of young advisors. The book would probably be The 12 Pillars by John Rome.
Okay.
And then what was the second question?
The middle quote.
Question? The quote, probably John Rome again. We all suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is discipline weighs ounces and regret weighs tons. And so when I say that to myself, I know that, okay, you got to discipline. It might be, feels like it's tough now. It's a short-term pain for the long-term gain. But I always know that with God, I can do all things through who strengthens me. So I'm going to get through this discipline because the last thing I want is the heaviness of the regret.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. Y'all, I've been hanging out with my little brother. He's not so little anymore. He's all grown up and just
all grown up.
An amazing man. And I'm just so blessed to know you, to love you, and to just watch you shine out in the world. I want to thank you for hanging out with me today.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome. I want to do it again.
This was good. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it again, and we're going to do our own show.
Yes.
And it's going to be so good. So
good. Love it. Love it. Keep doing what you're doing, Big Sis, because I absolutely love everything that you're doing, all the people that you're impacting. And I share with you at one of the events that you allowed me to speak on that your wisdom is being shown, like people can see it. And that's why there's so many people that are gravitating to you, because a lot of people, they say a lot of things and it sounds good, but people can see your wisdom, so they can see the God on you. So just keep doing what you're doing because you're making an impact.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time. Take care. How are you feeling? Was that not amazing? Can I just tell you that for me, sitting here having a conversation with my brother on my podcast, it was everything. It was absolutely everything. I cannot wait for us to do it again. There's so many amazing things that we got into during the conversation. We got to delve into that Moses anointing, which was fun. When he talked about your confidence turning into courage and that turning into faith, Even when he talked about the fact that fear creates anxiety and all of the parables that he referenced, the way he knows the word is just so amazing. And how about that 3T method at the end? Tithe, track, and trust. Trust the vision, trust the purveyor of the vision. So many good gems. So many good gems. I love talking about money. Now you know my brother also loves talking about money, and he can actually help you make the money multiply, which is really, really exciting. I have had the pleasure of having him manage my stock portfolio, which is doing fabulously because I, as you know, believe money needs to move. And how do we make money move? By investing and being investable. So I am always looking for places to invest my coin so my coin can make me more money, which I believe are the principles of being wealthy. Your money should make you money. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I hope he made you pull out your Bible. I hope that he referenced some passages and parables that when you go back to them, they will continue to be revelatory for you so that you can continue to work through the way you see yourself and the way you see money so that you can make money move. I'll see you guys next time. Take care.